This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Well, welcome back for part two on our series here on the work of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. We started in our last podcast going through just a look at what's a basic theology of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what is he doing, and then spent some time talking about how we should see the presence of the miraculous gifts in exercise today, and really tried to use 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 to ground us there. Today, I want to be really, really practical. If the Spirit is the one who gives gifts, I actually just want to spend a bit of time saying, well, how do we know what the gift is that we have? If the Spirit wants to empower God's people, how do we know what he's up to? And how do we know the sort of gifts that we have? And I want to give some very practical, pointed wisdom that gives you kind of a step-by-step, simple process that you can use to explore what might be the spiritual gifts that you have and how can you use those to serve God's people. Here's the overview of what we're going to do. First, I want to implore all of us, the way to start is to start with God's Word, to actually familiarize ourselves with the teaching in the New Testament on spiritual gifts. We'll try to go over the basic passages in the New Testament about gifts. Second piece of advice on how to find the gifts is actually to not start with an obsession about the gifts, but actually to start with growing your character. Growing your character and growing wisdom will foundationally make you the sort of person who knows how to find their gifts and the sort of person who knows how to use them once they are found. Third step, so start with God's Word. Second, grow your character. Thirdly, get busy serving. Don't obsess about finding a perfect gift. Obsess about getting active. And I think that will be the key, that actually it is activity moving towards serving where we will discover our gifting. So let's start first, though, with God's Word. Let's familiarize ourselves first with the basic texts in the New Testament on spiritual gifts. There are four really critical passages. I'm going to read each of them on the podcast here. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 7 is the first, where Paul writes, "By the grace given to me, I'm telling you, everyone among you should not think more highly of himself than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts." Different gifts, note that. "If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in serving. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. If in giving, with generosity. Leading, with diligence. Showing mercy, with cheerfulness." That's Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. The next key passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 13, which specifically is actually going to talk about the Spirit giving the gift of gifted people, but I do think that these people serve as kind of archetypal examples of a type of gifting. We'll see that. Ephesians 4, 7 to 13 says, "Now grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took captives captive and he gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? That is, he died. The one who descended is also the one who's ascended far above all the heavens, filling all things, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness." So note, this one is speaking about specific people he gave to the early church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But I think categorically, there are gifts that are apostolic, breaking new ground for the gospel, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoring, teaching that are operative today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11 is the next passage we'll point to. There's an extension of these gifts listed at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but we'll focus on the earlier one in verse 4, where it says, "There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills. It's 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 12. Just as each one has received a gift, we should use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. So to summarize, there are four of these major passages about the gifts in the New Testament. It's important to note, none of those lists, part of the reason I read them, is none of them are the same. And I don't think actually the way you figure out the gifts is to list out every single one of the gifts and go, which of these 27 or 28 do I have? I don't think it's quite like that. I'm not sure that the New Testament is giving us a specific list as much as we study this, we begin to see general categories, general patterns. One way to break it down is to say there's generally speaking or serving gifts. That's using the pattern we find in 1 Peter chapter 4. Tim Keller gave a really helpful three-part breakdown that I have found useful over the years, where he said, another way to see the gifts is to see that they mirror roughly the functions that God gave by his Spirit to the leaders of Israel. You have the prophets, the priests, and the kings. And so you have prophetic gifts, which are abilities based on understanding and articulating truth, representing to God with God to others in boldness and clarity in words. You have priestly gifts, and you have kingly gifts. So with the prophetic gifts, you see examples of that, like evangelism, or the ability to help people, which is the ability to help people believe, teaching, which is being a teacher, helping people learn, speaking, the ability to articulate in a compelling way, probably publicly, right? Knowledge in 1 Corinthians 12:8, discerning of spirits, the insight of the ability to tell the authentic from the false, all of those fall underneath the heading of the prophetic gifts. The next gift set that Keller talks about are priestly gifts. Those are abilities based on understanding and supplying basic needs. We are representing God and others to the world marked by sympathy, by sacrifice. Gifts in this sort might be encouraging. Romans 12:8. A cross between the priestly and prophetic has to do with like motivating, counseling. Helping is another one, 1 Corinthians 12:28, the ability to give assistance, right? Healing, facilitating emotional or personal healing. Pastoring has to do with knowing and providing a person what they need to grow. Serving is another one of these gifts. Sharing, mercy, all of those are what we could call the priestly or the caring gifts. And then the kingly gifts are about organization and leadership, the ability to understand direction and group needs, and they represent Christ's vision to others by wisdom and practicality. Biblical examples there are the gifts of the apostles, the apostolic gifting, which is a founder, new ground opening sort of gift, leadership gifting, which unites people to vision, or an administrative gifting, which has to do with organizing toward a task, a wisdom gift, a problem solving, or even a faith gift, which isn't really saving faith, but envisioning a goal, a future pathway clearly. All of these are biblical categories for understanding the gifts. It's important to note the way you start with finding your gifts, I think, is to start with being familiar with God's Word. God's Word will shape you in wisdom. It will also give you categories to think. So go to God's Word, read those passages, and see what seems to resonate to you. Second point of emphasis, if you want to find your gifts, is don't search for your gifts at the neglect of your character. Perhaps the most prominent work of the Spirit that we see in the New Testament is what we see summarized in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul writes that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, the following character traits, right? In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is just as much a work of the Spirit as the gifts are the Spirit of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit are never to be pursued apart from the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, that is possible. It's important to note that you can be tremendously gifted and unbelievably immature. Think in the history of the church of the example of Samson. Samson was the most gifted of all of the judges of Israel. He was also the most spiritually immature. Simply the presence of powerful gifting does not indicate the presence of powerful character. It's why all of the New Testament's exhortations to leadership place their emphasis on character over gifting. Why? Because a highly talented but highly unholy leader is a danger to the church. This was the danger in the church at Corinth, by the way. They were uniquely gifted. 1 Corinthians 1, 5-6 says they were enriched in every way. They did not lack any spiritual gift. Healing, tongues, miracles, mercy, they had it all. But the church at Corinth is also the most spiritually immature church we read of in the New Testament, marked by divisions, sexual immorality. They were crazy. Okay, so it is important to say this. If we are going to pursue learning what our spiritual gifts are, the foundation there is to grow our character as much as growing our gifts. Because apart from seasoned, wise, godly character, spiritual gifts can actually be exercised in a way that is tremendously dangerous. One of the great dangers that we have seen over and over and over again destroy churches throughout North America has been lifting up gifted people whose gifts exceeded their private character. That's a lesson we all need. Okay, so finding your gifts, start with God's word. Second, grow your character, not just your gifts. But third, and this is important here, if you want to figure out your gifts, don't spend all your time trying to figure out your gifts. Instead, spend your time serving God's people. If we think back to Romans chapter 12 that we read earlier, we know we all have different gifts, but Paul starts by saying, according to the grace given us, we have different gifts. So if you have prophecy, use it according to your faith. If in service, use it in serving. If your gift is teaching, well, then teach. The point Paul's making is that you find the gifts by doing something. You have to be active. J.D. Greer helpfully in his book, Jesus Continued, kind of gave four major points that support this line of reasoning. He said, you need to recognize that spiritual gifts generally bestow an unusual effectiveness in a responsibility given to all believers. For example, God commands all believers to evangelize. Okay, so by doing the thing God told you to do, you will find effectiveness in it, which could be a sign of spiritual gifting. So, first point, a spiritual gift bestows an unusual effectiveness in a responsibility generally given to all believers. Secondly, then, we discover our spiritual gifts as we actively obey those God-given responsibilities. When we obey commands God has given to all believers, God reveals to us through obedience, through the testimony of others observing us, where the gifts will lie. Thirdly, J.D. Greer points out that a spiritual gift will normally be seen to be a combination of what we are passionate about, what we are good at, and what others affirm. He kind of labels this, if you think of it as three kind of concentric circles, or three overlapping circles, like a Venn diagram, rather, of what he calls affinity, that's what we are passionate for, ability, that's what we are good at, and affirmation, that's what others encourage us in. So affinity, you have a burden for something. You move toward it naturally. And one of my observations is that often we have an affinity for things that are part of our story. We grew up in a home that where we were impacted by poverty, so we have a care and a concern for those who are disadvantaged. Don't be surprised if your heart moves to something that your story has in your past. Ability refers to what we are naturally good at. Think of that as another circle. You know, it's like spiritual strengths finders. It's the things that you just kind of naturally move toward things. Like even in my own life, guys, I think one of my spiritual gifts has had to revolve around teaching God's word to people. Well, I've always naturally had an ability to learn and then to write that material down in a way that I could teach to others. God has just refined and expanded that gift by his spirit over time. So affinity, ability, and then thirdly, affirmation. Okay, I'm going to give one qualifier on that. I think that your grandmother's affirmation of you doesn't count here. And I say that with all due respect to grandmothers everywhere and with the deepest love I could have in the world for my own grandmother. But What I mean is some people are just nice, guys. And affirmation from nice people, that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about affirmation where people are saying, I see a specific way God has used you. They're not just being nice. They're pointing out what is obvious. God is at work there. God is at work there. We need to be careful about self-affirmation because sometimes we label ourselves the wrong way. And affirmation is very helpful, especially at determining the horsepower or the capacity of our gifting. This is one of the things that I've just begun to figure out more and more, is that gifts not only are given by God, there are capacities in the gifting given by God. That's, I think, what Romans 12 is saying when it says we shouldn't think more highly than we ought to, instead sensibly, because God has distributed a measure, a differing measure of faith to each one. There's a according in proportion with our faith sort of principle. So affirmation often will help us to know what level of gifting we have in a certain way. There can be a teacher who is incredibly powerful with a group of 50, who you put them in on a stage of 5,000 and it does not work. That's not a flaw in the gift, that's just a difference in its capacities. So to give a final exhortation here, remember, we discover the gifts by serving. To go back to Tim Keller, he writes this, "You should find the jobs in the church that need to be done and then do them. Just go serve. Don't even worry about whether it fulfills you or if you are gifted. Why? Well, first, the only way you will really come to know the kind of ministry you're best at is by doing lots of different things. Then you'll know what God blesses. Don't first look at proven abilities like what you have in your day job or in your natural talents to determine what you do in the church, because as mentioned earlier, God might not choose to use that. Likewise, even though they're helpful, don't look first to your deepest affinities, the things that excite or interest you, because if you gravitate too quickly toward only those things, you might miss latent gifts you weren't aware of. Instead, look to opportunities. Just serve. Plug the gaps in the church and help out. Go through the door of opportunity in the church, doing what needs to be done, and over time, you will grow as your abilities and your affinities begin to be affirmed and you can specialize." So, I hope that you're motivated to look for the gifts that God's given you, to start with God's word, to continually grow your character, but then just to get involved. We desperately need God's people not to think of the church, not to think of the church as some sort of spectator show that you go to every week to watch other gifted people serve you, but instead to think of the church as a body where every part has a function, and we get together, whether it's in a big group to worship or in a small group in a home, praying, "God, would you give me the opportunity to serve others?" When you show up to serve, you're going to figure out where you're gifted. So, maybe the closing exhortation of this podcast is not go figure out your gifts, but go get started serving. As you start serving, God will show you what you're passionate about, what you're good at, what people affirm, and in so doing, more and more and more, your serving will align to where you're gifted, and you'll continue to bless the church and grow in relationship to God. Grow in your faith as you see the Spirit working through you. So, to everyone listening to this, go get involved. Go serve. And in the process of serving, figure out where God has gifted you.